So, good morning. My name is Jennifer Prisville, and I'll be speaking with you today about a recent project entitled Brominated Flame Retardant Exposure and Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder in U.S. Youth. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, is characterized by excessive fidgeting, a hard time paying attention, and poor impulse control. It's increasing in prevalence in U.S. children, and it has a cost of about $36 to $52 billion, and that's related to medical costs and loss of productivity. There's also a high emotional cost. Children with ADHD tend to have harder times with peer relationships, and also have a harder time exceeding in school. Polybrominated diphenyl ethers, or PBDEs, are components of flame retardants, and in a U.S. representative sample population, 97% of the sample population had one or more congener in their blood serum. And animal toxicity testing and epidemiology studies have shown that PBDEs may affect neurodevelopment. But there's really little known about clinical developmental disorders, especially in older children. So the objective of our study was to look at the association between PBDE exposure and diagnosis of ADHD by a physician in children 12 to 15 years of age. The data set I used was NHANES 2003 to 2004 cycle, and I had 306 12 to 15-year-olds in my sample population. Covariates in my model included blood lead levels, because these are shown to be highly associated with ADHD, sex, birth weight, BMI, daycare attendance, and prenatal smoke exposure. I looked at five PBDE congeners that were above the 60% detection frequency, so that was PBDE 28, 47, 99, 100, and 153. I also looked at the sum of all these of the five congeners, as well as above and below the 75th percentile of the sum and tertiles of the sum. My outcome was diagnosis of ADHD by a healthcare physician or healthcare provider, and that was parent reported. I used multiple logistic regression to look at that association. And I imputed value PBDE values that were below the limit of detection using multiple imputation. In my models, I also included the survey variables that NHANES provides to make sure I address the complex sampling design of NHANES. So in general, the single congeners had a non-significant positive relationship with ADHD, while those who had a some PBDE concentration of above the 75th percentile or in the third highest tertile had a non-significant negative relationship with ADHD. But these estimates are thought to be unstable due to small sample size. So despite previous studies showing animal toxicity testing and prospective cohort studies that exposure to PBDEs can affect attention behavior, we found no association between PBDE exposure and ADHD. And the no findings could be due to several limitations, including that animal toxicity animal studies may have a different mechanistic pathways than humans when exploring exposure to PBDEs and behavior alterations. Also, animal toxicity testings tend to expose the animals to very high concentrations that might not be environmentally relevant. Additionally, we relied on parent recall of ADHD diagnosis, which could result in some bias. And although PBDEs have a relatively long half-life, so on the order of years, blood serum samples taken at 12 to 15-year-olds might not be representative of concentrations at that critical developmental window. Additionally, we had a very small sample size, and we were unable to look at important covariates like health insurance. Despite those limitations, we had several strengths, so that the PBDEs do represent long-term exposures and at environmentally relevant concentrations. And ADHD diagnosis was by a physician or a healthcare provider, as opposed to maybe a teacher who might not have as extensive training. Additionally, because of the size of NHANES data set, we were able to control for many important confounders. So thank you for your time and attention, and I'd like to acknowledge my funding source.